Very often we can forget the me in the us, and also very often we forget the us in the me. So it's kind of important to reflect on both.
As a couple, what have we done lately that has lit us up? I do want to asterisk that and go, there can be the risk, and that's okay.
With my own health recently in the last few months, I've had to reflect very sincerely on all the things that took away my energy.
Have that conversation, because the psychological weight of so many of these things that are taking the energy really takes the joy from the day-to-day in marriage. So it takes one conversation to get real. Make it special. Have that corner of the sitting room that is like you just have the cushions ready for both of you, that it's your special little getaway space, etc. Make it comfortable. You deserve it.
Doesn't matter what's happening. Even if we have to get up at 5 in the morning to have that bath together, but we're making it happen. So that's how we do it.
Placing your awareness as a couple on what can we do together, and then scheduling it in. I think that's a really important part here practically. Welcome into the He Wants, She Wants Marriage Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about marriage spring renewal. 5 things to spark life back into your marriage this season. It's springtime, baby.
It is. And in Ireland, we definitely feel it. It's literally like, sunshine and outside and energy back in the system after the darkness of the winter. So
yeah, the darkness, particularly for myself anyways, the longer days, getting up brighter mornings, longer evenings, really kicks us into this impulse. Super quickly, I want to put a shout out to our sacred listeners in the Southern Hemisphere. I know there's a great pool of people in South Africa, in Australia, New Zealand, that it mightn't be their spring yet. Don't avoid this episode just yet. The reflections are super potent at any time of year, but definitely for the Northern Hemisphere that are waking up into the spring, there is a particular energy about springtime naturally that just calls the human spirit to really press the refresh button.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking probably to the ladies now, but like, I mean, that impulse to do the whole spring cleaning of the house, or to just throw away half of your wardrobe because you just want to renew, there is that element. And without, like, it's not shallow or anything. We're following an impulse. There is that wanting, and we see it in, I mean, we're fortunate enough to live in nature. Like, I mean, there's so, like, the flowers are coming back out, the buds on the edges are coming back out, everything is charged with potential, and to harness that potential we kind of have to ride that wave. And we're hearing advices everywhere as to how you can do it for yourself, how you can do it for your home, how you can do it for your own energy. And that's all beautiful. But what we were wanting to do with this episode is, how can we do it as a couple? How can we harness that energy and ride that wave as a couple with the intention to set a tone for the next season that actually brings more connection, more closeness, rather than, because the other one, when it's very individualistic, can actually bring disconnection, because I could just go on a wave of my energy and whatever, but that may not match yours, or there's no conversation that actually can create disconnection. So that's what we're wanting to do with these 5 things that we want to bring to you today.
Yeah, it's mission critical to do this as a couple now, because the whole of society is built on this spring renewal. You know, if you think of kids, sports teams, they're predominantly spring and then the summer. So everything in society tends to get more jam-packed and busy from spring to summer. And then we go into a sort of a decline in autumn. As a couple, if you don't prioritize yourself now, you're going to have the whole of society through school, through sports, through a ton of stuff in your community, activities, people coming, we tend to visit. You know, spring and summer tends to be the visiting, and then holidays, and you blink and another year is gone. So it's mission critical, hence we're doing this episode now. It is mission critical with the busyness of modern life that you prioritize yourself and your partner in your marriage now, so you actually prepare the system to cope with the other stuff.
Yes, hence we paused the Marriage Apocalypse series just for this one episode. We're going to come back to it from next week, but we wanted to get this in now because that's the time. Okay, so let's go. We're going into the five things. We're good with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, bring good. It. So these are kind of like five reflection prompts, but they're quite practical, as in from these you can get to quite practical solutions that are going to be your own. You make them your own as a couple. Mm. So the first one is, what are we really proud of accomplishing or overcoming as a couple? And this can be like in the last few months, in the last season.
And it can be longer term. Take a look at your kids. Take a look at the house, the home. You know, we've been in this house or home 8 years and we tend to forget this stuff. Mm. Just take a look and go, well, look at what we've done thus far. Mm-hmm. This, for me, I think maybe it's, I think it's pretty widespread with in husbands and wives. But I know the masculine impulse is getting shit done, which is really cool. There's always the next project at work, in sports, etc., etc. So the tendency is that you're constantly chasing the horizon. The horizon is sort of set with the next four, and that is beautiful. You're setting yourself up for a great year. There is such a quality in a marriage to slow down and go, before we set off on another task, on another journey, on another adventure, no matter how beautiful it is, look at what we've done thus far. Let's slow down, you and me, and go, oh my God, like, look at the kids, house, home, the career change, what we've done as a couple more intimately. And it really builds a muscle, a sacred muscle that tends to get lost in marriage. And when you lose out on that perception and the recognition of how much you've achieved together, how much you've already done, you're missing a foundation. Things tend to get superficial.
Yeah, also because new adventures or new things that you want to do usually are, not always, but they can be started from a complaint. Like from, you know, we want to renew the house because we don't like the way it is now. Mm. We want to change the mattress because it's uncomfortable. You know, like, so bringing the first prompt being something to celebrate and just kind of grounding on, well, yeah, maybe things that we want to change. But there's all of this amazing stuff that we've accomplished. It's really a powerful way to start.
Yeah.
Okay, so point number two. What lights me / us up lately? And how can I / we experience more of that? And that is important. We haven't put the me and us by accident there, is because very often we can forget the me in the us. And also very often we forget the us in the me. So it's kind of important to reflect on both.
Yeah. One thing that jumps out for me personally is what lights me up is playing guitar. I think I've mentioned on the guitar or on the podcast previously, I've been having guitar lessons every 2 weeks for, I think it's about 5-6 months now. Mm-hmm. That lights me up. I love playing the guitar. And it's in a crazy period of married life, of work life. So there's continually this part of my mind going, I just email Richard, my teacher, and go, hey, I'm just going to, but I know if I tap, I'm not going to be going back to guitar lessons. It could be for like 5 years. It's like, but that, me recognizing that lights me up. I had your support. We had that conversation. You were like, hey, make shit happen. And I went, I booked online, super simple. Every 2 weeks, get the job done. And that lights me up. I know I feel much better the far side of every single lesson. And there's a sense of relief going, I'm glad I'm keeping this. This is me. This lights me up. It's really supportive.
And how can we get more of that in? Starts a conversation. Because yes, that might be something, I'm not playing guitar, you're doing it. But it's us together that are looking at the next season and going, well, it's important that those days are kept free because that thing is going on. And if you want to actually get more lessons, well, it's important that we create the conditions for that to happen. So it becomes a conversation between the two of you instead of the one person having to fix it themselves. And it was interesting when we went through this prompt, I was like, oh, you have the guitar. And I'm like, what the hell lights me up? Reason being, I was like, oh, Nothing. Not in a self-defeating way, but it was like, okay, that's really powerful information. In the business of everything, I have not made time, because I have things that light me up, but I have not made time to honor those things. So that's, if that comes up for you, it's not to beat yourself up. It's important information. And together you have this conversation. Okay, how can we get more of it in? So the next one is...
Well, just the...
Oh,
the,
sorry.
No, you're... It's perfectly fine. We spoke to the me-centered one.
Yeah.
There's the us part. You know, what have we... We together, yourself, myself, and you guys at home, to reflect on that part as a couple. What have we done lately that has lit us up? I do want to asterisk that and go, there can be the risk, and that's okay. There can be the risk of nothing. We haven't felt lit up.
Again, that's information.
In fact, in a lot of cases, if you're really honest, you'd be like, I'm not really feeling that we've felt lit up, because so many couples get lost in the day to day. It happens. Kids, work, house, you know, in-laws, outlaws, sick parents, sick dog, walking, everything. So the encouragement is, approach it non-judgmentally. Well, isn't that interesting that we as a couple, we can't actually put our finger on something lately? Hey, go a bit further back. If you go back, one thing for us, and we did recognize that, is like going for walks. In our first 6 months together, we were having the morning walk. And in fact, from that recognition, we reestablish a walk in nature. And when we do that, that really energizes it. So it's just to bring that practical thing. Discipline your mind, guys. Even if it's not recent, don't let that rain on your parade. You will find, if you dig deep, at some point you guys were getting on so well that you thought like living together, being married forever after, was a good idea. At some point you'll have some activities that lit you up together. Get creative and go back, you know, a period of time, if not a couple of decades, if you have to.
Yeah, because it can be as simple as, oh, we used to have coffee in bed. You know, like, it could be really simple. It doesn't have to be anything so time consuming and crazy.
And very, very often it's... That's a really great point. Very often it's the simple mundane things that this modern society that tells us it has to be something expensive. It has to be this. It has to be eating out. I've got caught in that trap where I wasn't doing things with you because, oh, I don't have money, so I can't do anything. No, dude. The simple things are very often the most meaningful.
Okay.
Now rock on.
Number three. Okay, so that's the opposite of it. So what takes away my or our energy, and how can we experience less of that? And that's equally as important. I know we've had plenty of... Well, I've really had to, with my own health recently in the last few months, I've had to reflect very sincerely on all the things that took away my energy, because my levels of energy are not as available as they were for a while. And by looking at that, you can really see where you're leaking energy out all the time that then takes away energy for the other thing that was like what lights you up. So the two things really are important to look at together.
Yeah, it must happen. It's one of the most avoided conversations in marriages, because this reflection here alone will bring up some of the most avoided conversations that you as a couple are avoiding having. And you're paying a massive price. So it's a super powerful prompt. I encourage everybody to take that look and have the courage to be the partner and go, let's do this. Let's get real. Spring cleaning, because that's in the house. What do you do in spring cleaning? It's like you go into the shed, it's like, let's rip all this stuff that we've been hoarding, let's get rid of it. And there's a great sense of liberation, I know, in getting things done. That productivity methodology, the dude says, he's like, of all the things that he does, he will get, these people are paying him astounding amounts of money, and his number one thing he does is one day in their office coaching them, telling them they're not allowed to do anything. They can't take a phone call, they can't email, they've got to throw out everything that they're not going to use again. And what he says is, at the end of that day, is they have this unleashing that evening, they have dreams and visions and fantasticness, because why? They got rid of what was holding them back. when people at home have that discipline to go, okay, let's talk about the in-laws, let's talk about that friend, let's talk.
The in-laws are the first thing that comes up, isn't it?
Well, for, oh my God, I mean,
we've done some spring cleaning in that department.
Fetch me musket. Internal joke about a quote from a movie. Have that conversation, because the psychological weight of so many of these things that are taking the energy really takes the joy from the day to day in marriage. Yeah. So it takes one conversation to get real, mm-hmm. to go, let's embrace this topic now and let's take the next action to really hack that part of our lives out.
Yeah. It's really important. When you take that away, you make space. You actually make space for what lights you up. And if you do it together, so what's taking it away from us together? Like, I know we've had conversations of, well, if we're not sleeping enough, well then we can't actually bring energy to the intimate practice or to be present with each other. So that's a really important thing for both. Or again, it can be simple. It doesn't have to be big.
Yeah.
Okay, then the next one. What do we want to prioritize as a couple in the upcoming months? And here you can play with it. Imagination is the limit. It's like implementing new connection rituals, you know, like a weekly bath together, a weekly walk together. Maybe you could take up a dance class together. Whatever that is.
Listening to the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast together. You
good
know,
one. Very good one. Yes. True.
It's a cool thing. And again, it's the forgotten thing. Placing your awareness as a couple on what can we do together and then scheduling it in. Mm. I think that's a really important part here practically. When you schedule it, it gets done. Because often couples can even spontaneously have these conversations. You know what? Well, we need to do more of whatever. You know, a loving couple, that's going to happen. Mm. I know it's our case study historically was car rides. We go on a journey together. Oh, man, rockets of desire here, there and everywhere. Like, if we could have just tapped those and let that flourish into our lives, I think we wouldn't have met half the marital issues that we did if we just really tapped in and schedule all of those cool ideas. So it happens. And that can really lead to an eventual hopelessness of we have all of these good ideas, but it just doesn't come to pass.
Yeah.
It takes discipline to go, hey, we did this super powerful spring renewal thing with the he wants, she wants, those awkward dudes that just keep on bombarding us and telling us we have to share. And we did that. Let's actually lock this in this spring. Let's schedule it. Let's bring it from the spark of a good idea into a full bushfire of we're doing this shit and we're doing it every day, every week, or, you know, whatever that is. Make it happen.
Yeah, because everything else is scheduled, isn't it? Like, I mean, the sport of the kids is that day of the week or those days of the week. The in-laws come in for dinner, well, it's every Saturday, isn't it? Or, you know, so things are scheduled, and then the stuff that would be prioritizing you as a couple is the one that maybe sometime gets put in the cracks when coincidentally there's a bit of time. And that's not going to work.
No.
That has to be scheduled. It's like, okay, that's it. If Saturday morning me and you are having a bath, doesn't matter what's happening. Even if we have to get up at 5 a.m. to have that bath together, but we're making it happen. So that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, final one. This is about how do we clean, how do we spring clean our home together? And this is like one of those topics that I'd say probably half the husbands are just going, oh my God, I have a headache right now just hearing that. I am not talking about actually cleaning per se, but what I'm talking about is checking in with each other. Your home is your nest. It's actually the space where all your connection time, especially now we work from home, but if you're working away from home and home is the place where you come back to and you connect with each other in the evening and at the weekends, that's your nest. And there's going to be things like I've discovered just a couple of days ago that you hate the thing where we have the keys hanging, you know, the car keys and the house keys, that thing, you were like, oh, can we just get rid of that thing? It's there 8 years. I didn't know you hated that thing. But that's important because that's like every day we're using that.
Mm.
And every day you get frustrated with this thing. So if we can actually just look at our space together and go, is there something, and we don't have to do the whole big thing, like the whole big home renewal, but can we just make some changes that make it cozier for both of us, that make it, you know, okay, we change that thing. We put something that works for both of us. That's one little step, but it makes a difference because it's a daily thing.
It's, what's that Danish term? I think it's hygge.
Hygge
is how you pronounce it. And I've read a couple of books on that, and it's almost like this, the English language struggles to describe what it's about, but the coziness, the comfiness, the visceral feeling of just, you know, snuggling in together, spaces that really allow.
Yeah, have it here. Hygge simplified, a guide to coziness, comfort and conviviality. This little book here has been like a class little book because it speaks exactly to that.
So it's like going from the inspiration of hygge, it's that sense of, I think the word deserving comes up for me, probably in all of this, is we have been conditioned to be so hard on ourselves and so goal-oriented. Like, it's goal-oriented kids, because you can't relax as a parent until your kids are out the far side of Harvard and have, three kids, a wife, big car, done, I can finally relax. That day never comes. You know, and that in parenting, in your own career, in your own, and we forget that we're alive now. We deserve to feel really snug and comfy now.
Hmm.
One of the guys in the community there a couple of months back, I absolutely loved it. He was actually working, doing really profound work on deserving. He'd done amazing work. He was on several coaching calls. And what was really amazing about it, he took it home and he got super practical. And he came in one of the days and he was like, you know what? There was that chair mark. And he was telling myself and the guys, and I felt really inspired by it. It was cool. He's like, there's this chair. He's like, it's been there years in my house and it's never bloody comfortable. And he just, from a sense of deserving, he said, I looked at it. He's like, I work really hard. I do a physical, really tough job during the day. And I want a chair where when I come home, my whole body sinks into it. And I was like, you know, I didn't say the word hygge, but that's the essence of it. It's like, get that chair or make that space. Get that space for yourself and, you know, yourself and your partner where you can, when you do sit down and have a cup of coffee, you know, make it special. Have that corner of the sitting room that is like, you just have the cushions ready for both of you, that it's your special little getaway space, etc. Make it comfortable. You deserve it. You really deserve it.
And again, it can be very simple things, because one can listen in and go, oh, but that, like, I mean, we need a budget for that. We need, can be super simple things that make such a difference in the feeling of it. And sometimes it's ultimately only just declutter and uncover those corners of coziness in your home just by getting rid of some stuff rather than adding new things. So it can be very simple. But if you're doing it together, you can have a conversation on this rather than, again, all of these things can be bringing this connection. And when we're actually doing it together and have a conversation, they do the opposite. They bring connection.
Mm. Well, one major spring thing, as it happens, and it was before this episode, but one thing that I'm doing, and it's for the whole family, it's not just for ourselves, but in our backyard. People have been listening in. I've definitely mentioned Beat Husband, She Brags About podcast, the horses. We've got 8 horses. We've a full, almost mini working farm in our backyard. But like the space over years, hey, horses, backyard, it's a farmyard, muck and dust. And it's like all the walls were really caked up with all this dirt. And I, for years, had always put it off. Oh, wouldn't it be nice someday to just clean that down? Wouldn't it be nice? And it felt like such a massive project that it's like, I have enough shit to do. You know, I'm not scrubbing that shit. It's like, I always put it off. The last couple of months, I've been tidying up the backyard, as you well know. And guys, the surprise and the thrill on Matilda's face, the girls who went out, I've scrubbed, you know, the walls down on what was really dirty and black is now sparkling white. I feel good. You feel good. The girls, it's like, hey, we're going to tidy this place up because, you know, if we're going to have horses, I want us to have a yard where we go out and feel inspired. Not a yard that is like by default dirty as shit and we just go in. You want to get the job done and get out. It's really tending to that. And I found that deeply inspiring.
Yeah, and ideas start coming, as we said, when you just start doing this, like the girls, oh, we could put flowers here, we could do this, we could do that. It brings a new energy to everything. You watch it. Like, this is not just a theoretical thing. Oh, we sit down and we do like these five prompts and do a bit of journaling on it. When you act on these things, even if you give one answer to each of these, you know, you don't have big lists. You don't have to make big lists. One answer, one next thing that you can prioritize together, one next thing that you can get rid of, one next little change in a room. Watch what happens to the energy of you as a couple, of your entire family if you've got kids. It's going to change and it's going to have an impact also on, well, your mental health, physical health, your work, your everything, because it spreads from that unit of you and your partner doing this together.
There's one story that, it's another one, I think you're blue in the face, Toto Wolf.
I am.
You are blue in the face. I have mentioned before in the other pod, but it's such a powerful example and it's the ultimate spring clean and the practical results of it. Toto Wolf is the principal, he's the director of performance, CEO at Mercedes-Benz Formula One team. When he took over that team, when he was on the day of interviewing, the first meeting to see would he take over the leadership of that team, he was in the waiting area of the main Mercedes headquarters. And he noticed that there was a used coffee cup, little bit spilled on the table and the lid, plastic lid on the table. And then he looked at the magazines and the newspapers and they were 2 and 3 weeks out of date. And some of the magazines were several months out of date and they were sort of scattered there. And a part of Toto Wolff's genius was he recognized that I already know what the issue is, why this team is not winning. From the coffee cup and the disorganization of the magazines. And he went into that meeting and he said, I know how to make you world champions.
Yeah.
And some of them kicked back and said, that's ridiculous. But he knew, hey, if there's a mess there, as you do one thing, you do all things. So he set about the ultimate spring clean. And they ended up winning 8 world championships in a row.
It's there you go.
Unbelievable, almost unheard of. So I bring that example. My masculine heart loves that, the systems element of it. But the encouragement is to people at home is to do your own version of a Toto Wolf. Notice the space, notice the systems. And if when you take an enthusiastic approach to it as a couple, you're not going to win 8 world championships, but your equivalent of happiness and health and connection and trust definitely is possible.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So there you go. You've got some homeworks to do.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome spring and an awesome summer, autumn, an awesome 2026 for all of you that go along with this. As always, share this with your partner. That's the call to action. Share it with your partner, share it with your partner. And most importantly, lead that conversation. So until the next episode, between now and then, dare to go get what you want in marriage. Bye, guys.
Bye.